Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pit.
Yeah, and a ham horn. And we have a new podcast available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. This is CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea over there.
Hello.
Matt, fresh from New York City.
Yes. It was warmer there than it was here.
Interesting.
I mean, it was cold, but, you know, a few degrees warmer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was,
yeah. It was cold here.
I like New York. I haven't been in, like, since 2005.
Yeah, I like New York too. My problem with New York the last, I don't know, eight times I've been there is I think like the last eight times I've been there, I've been there for less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it seems like such a waste, you know? It's like, Alec Baldwin wants you to come in and do Match Game. It's like, I'm in Texas. Okay, but could you fly from Texas to New York? Well, I got to do a podcast on Tuesday. Oh, they can fly you in. You'll get there at 10 o'clock on Monday night. And you film on Tuesday until 3, and then you have a 5:45 flight out of JFK. You'll be back in L.A. And it's like, You get to New York. It's the greatest town in the world. You're there for 13 hours.
Yeah,
it seems like such an incredible waste.
This was kind of a trip like that. I mean, I flew out. actually, I don't even know what day it is now. Tuesday, Wednesday. I flew out. I guess Monday morning, and you know, 5 hours to get there, 3 hour time difference. You get there. You Uber over, or you get a car over to a hotel, and then it's dinner time. So that was the only time that I was like, all right, I'm gonna go do some New York stuff. I got on a subway and I went up to Midtown and I grabbed some dinner and walked back, and that was it. It was like the 5 mile walk back in the middle of the night was about all I got to see everything. But it was fun, and it was a nice walk around. The next morning they just pick you up, you go, you do a thing, and then you go right to the airport and you come home. You land at midnight.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out our car schedule. There's so much to do. I got the guys from Goodwood trying to wonder if we come out there, race out there, if we ship the car out there, then they'll...
Hey, but what car qualifies? Or are you talking about the hill climb?
Well, the Goodwood guys said they're having their like founders meeting or club members meeting or something like that. They wanted the 935 out there. Had a funny thing with the 935, which is we decided to do the plugs and the wires.
Yeah.
The wires are pretty cracked up. It's like pretty bad shape. Like when you take the plug wires or the coil wires or whatever it is, and you bend them, you just lots of cracks. They seem worn. So, you know, it's one of these things where when you're working on a car or anything, but a car, you want to establish a baseline. Like, what isn't the problem? So it's like when I would buy a used truck back in the day, I'd go, all right, I have my used truck. Let's change the oil. Let's probably drain the fluids, you know, out of the radiator, put the new radiator fluid in. And then I would mostly, oftentimes go, I'll get a rotor, a cap for the distributor, and new plug wires. It was a four banger Datsun, you know, all in, $37 for the oil, for the plugs, for the wire. You know, change the plugs, change the wires, change the rotor, change the cap. And that way, I know that's all good now. Now, if it's missing or sputtering or something, I can now muss with the carburetor. But I know what it's not because I've just got a baseline set here. So we said, why don't we just do the cap, do the rotor, do the wires on the 935 Porsche, and do the plugs. And so, of course, then it turns into there's no caps, there's no rotors. We found a guy in Dusseldorf, but he has the rotor. It's $400. You know, it's like, the rotors were not the brake rotor. Rotor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the caps, $500, and then whatever, but it's a used cap. And then you get into... They make an aftermarket cap and rotor, okay, but it goes with a new distributor. Well, you got to buy the whole distributor. Like, well, that's not really aftermarket.
It's not really aftermarket.
They make their own.
Why don't they say they make a distributor for the 935 that'll work?
So I had this funny conversation with Sean at the other shop where I go, so he ran into him yesterday. He's like, we couldn't find the spark plugs. It's a wild, weird spark plug of this 935. Couldn't find them anywhere, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, hey, I found a spark plug. I found a company that repops these or makes these spark plugs. And I said, good. And he goes, it's $109. And I go, $109 for six? And he goes, no, they're $109 a piece.
Yeah.
And then I jokingly said, well, good thing it's a six. It's not a V12 like all my Lambos. And he goes, it's a twin plug six.
It's a twin plug six.
And I go, that's six. And that's 12.
That's
and then
12.
It was funny. Then I yelled at him because he goes, it's a flat. It's a flat six. And I go, fucking Sean, you don't think I know? What do you think I think? What do I got? I got a W12 back there or something. I know it's a fucking flat six.
Yeah.
Now I know it's a twin plug. I forgot it was a twin plug. So, yes.
I like that he was easing into it, though. It went from $109 to $1,300 for all of them.
For the spark plugs. And then the rotor and the cap, he found a guy in Germany.
Yeah, for $1,000.
Or something. Something insane.
Yeah, hey.
That was way more than my first pickup truck cost.
That's why not everybody has a 935.
I guess not. And it's a weird plug. Have you seen the plug?
Yeah.
It's a weird any plug. It doesn't come out. It's like you have to, the electron or whatever it's called, the half bridge that goes over the top that causes the spark, that's all in.
Yeah.
It's flat.
It looks like somebody took a plug and smash it on the table.
So, yes, it looks, I mean, like you took the end of it and smashed it. Also, when we got the rotor, when we took the distributor cap off and we got into the rotor was like broken. So we can go over the other shop and talk to those guys about it. But the long and the short of it was when I was talking about racing that car and I was talking about it, it kind of felt like it was down on power and not really firing on all the cylinders and blah, blah, blah. Something was the rotor and cap, but especially the rotor was like cracked or like a piece of it busted off or something. So I don't think it was hitting all the cylinders.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. We were trying to figure out if it was, you know, a boost issue, turbo issue or not, but... I'm actually kind of glad it's cap and rotors and plugs, and hopefully that fixes it, because even though that stuff is expensive, I'm sure it's cheaper than whatever else the problem could be.
Yes, now I can sleep at night. All right, so Daniel Boyer is coming in. He's the director of sales and marketing for Vanderhall Motor Works. They have he brought one of his vehicles out there. It's a three-wheel vehicle, kind of I don't know what they call those, slingshots. Who makes those now? Can-Am?
Polaris. Yeah, it's a slingshot.
What's Can-Am make? They make something too?
Yeah, that's a... they make a... I forgot the name of it. They've got the motorcycle thing with the three wheels. that you sit on like a motorcycle, though.
Oh, right, 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 right. Yeah. That's
Can-Am
right.
Spider. Yeah, Can-Am right. Spider.
Right. This is different than those. Very cool. Out in the parking lot, we just looked at it. It was out here there in Provo, Utah. So we'll talk to him in a couple of few. What do you got going on in your life, Matt, car-wise?
I got a 2018 Mustang GT coming in soon to test drive, or the 18 coming mm-hmm. in pretty soon, which will be fun. They bumped up the power in that thing. They keep nipping and tucking a little bit. I think it's about 460 horsepower now.
The Mustang.
See, it's amazing how they
is turning into a very nice vehicle. One of the things they've done that's been nice with the car aesthetically is they've taken that rear end and slanted it backwards,
yeah.
and it looks much better yeah. with the kind of raked back rear end. The rear ends of those cars look a lot better than they did a few years ago.
It's got a great profile now, that car from the side.
It's got a good profile.
It's a great line.
They did something bold and innovative, which is they took the fucking antenna off the front fender and they moved it somewhere. That was a bold, yeah. innovative move that, Volkswagen Jettas did it 20 years earlier, but it takes a while to change, yeah. you know what I mean?
On my 93 Cobra, you saw that I shaved that thing off the front fender. I didn't even really hook up another antenna yet. I was just like, whatever. I just listened to a iPhone
bold and innovative. A bold design
cue. Like, since I'm doing a little paintwork anyway, might as well just shave that thing right off the front.
Yes.
So it's not whipping around in your
the Mustangs. And listen, I don't want to be a douche. I feel like my relationship with the Mustang needs to be sort of like my relationship with other people's kids. So I don't love them and I don't hate them. They can kind of earn however I feel about them. They're little troublemakers, then they're I'm going to feel that way. And if they're good kids, then I'm going to feel that way. And Mustangs were kind of little troublemakers for a long time. I mean, I've been around since, you know, the Mustang 2 and the Cobra 2, you know, like, and those were pieces of shit. And like when I was like 16, I was like, what a pile of shit that car is. And then they kept, you know, turning into the 5.0 and all that kind of stuff. And each time I would kind of look at them and go, it's a little better. Still a piece of shit. It's like a little better. And then I go, still a piece of shit. And then they got into the next one, like the Fox Body one with all the fake fucking vents, like the fake vents in the rear fenders and the fake vents on the side. And I was like, what's with all the fucking fake vents? And they're like, hey, it's the new Mustang. Like, yeah, but why do you have plastic stuck onto the outside of the fenders?
Yeah, it like the 94 to like 90-something, 6 or something.
Doesn't go through. 90. And they'd be like, oh, we got, it's got a, it's got a V8 in it. And I'd go, yeah, but the antenna's in the front. The interior's kind of shitty. And there's a bunch of fake vents stuck to the outside of it. And I go, well, okay. Now they are evolving into a really cool piece. And definitely, if you're working, if you're having a bang for your buck conversation, the Mustang's got to be in that conversation
in there, right?
now. Yeah,
and even
for
their
sure.
hotter models, like their GT350 and stuff like that. And there's a new GT500 coming out, which is apparently going to be the GT350 engine with a supercharger. We'll see if it has the same flat plane crank and stuff like that. So that's going to be pretty interesting. But yeah, now it's a good car, but it's twice the price of when I bought mine in 93. You know, but I guess everything kind of is. Cars are just expensive these days.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. Yes, they are. And I don't know how it works. And I don't know what the kids are doing. My feeling is, if I was young and poor as I used to be, I'd probably just wait for something to be a few years old. My problem back in the day is I never had any credit. So the working construction is kind of like living here, kind of like a day laborer or something, like an illegal alien. Like, we never had
right.
– no one had credit. No one had credit cards. No one had any – I bought a sofa on time. And I had to have like my grandma like co-sign for
a sofa.
A sofa.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was leather.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Real leather? All the way? Front and back?
Yeah. And I had to like make payments on the sofa. Like, it was that's how I was like establishing credit. But I couldn't buy. It always drove me nuts when I would see the – when I would open the back of the newspaper, and that's where they had, like, Miller Nissan, and they'd have, like, 86 Nissan King Cab truck, you know, with air conditioning and power windows. And they'd have a thing of, like, your payment is $99 a month.
Yeah.
You have a brand new King Cab Nissan 86 with a 3-liter V6 in it. And I remember, like, looking at it going, I could pay $99 a month. I'm sure this is a scam and this is one truck. Because then underneath it, they'd have the VIN number of the one truck that would be gone, you know, if you got there. But I'd be like, I'm sure I could pay I could swing $99 a month and be riding in luxury in this Nissan pickup
truck.
Power
windows and air?
Probably just air. But
you'd be the talk of the construction site.
I'd be the bell of the ball. But I could never go into Miller Nissan and fill out any paperwork because they'd want past employment and pay stubs and stuff like that. And all I was doing was wandering around.
Got to bring Granny with you.
I'd have I would like have people.
And how much was the couch? $39 a month.
At a certain point, I just borrowed like I think it was like $5,000 from like the B of A in North Hollywood, and my grandparents co-signed. I don't know why my grandparents. I think my dad's such a fucking loser. He couldn't do it. I probably didn't talk to him, but it was like my grandparents like co-signed, and I'd have to pay them back like $45 a month for 6 years or something, and I would always get late on the payment, and they would always contact my grandparents, and I'd always tell them, "Don't just give me the notice, would you?" And my grandparents would always be pissed off, like, "We got another letter from B of A.
Yeah.
You owe them now $81. You know, it was like a big deal. Like, who's going to pay that $81? We're not going to be on the hook for $81. I was like, it was a big, big deal.
Did Granny come and repossess the couch? She's like, don't make me take the cushions off that thing. You want those cushions back. You better make a payment.
I'll tell you what you guys should do. Forget about repossessing cushions. Castrol Edge, designed for consumers who demand the best performance from their cars. Tech advances have made their engines smaller, made our engines smaller, more powerful, more efficient. We're always talking about that. Everyone with the CAFE ratings, everyone's going down in displacement. They're going up in power because they're turbocharging, they're supercharging. Engines today produce pressure up to 10 tons per square centimeter. That's a lot of pressure, man. So you need Castrol Edge. It's just a thin film between the metal. And that's the difference, man, between blowing up an engine and sailing off into the sunset. Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown. Yeah. The leading full synthetic. All right, let's get our guest ready. Let's get Daniel ready, and we'll talk to Rich, 56, from Pittsburgh. Rich?
Hey, Adam, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Not much, brother. How are you? Big fan.
Thanks, man. What's going on?
Hey, nice job on the winning documentary for Paul Newman, really. Good work.
Hey, watch Winning, the Race and Life of Paul Newman, and watch 24-Hour War as well. People like that.
Yeah, I got to check that out, but I was really impressed. You did a really good job with that, man. So,
well, I don't like to talk about myself and or brag, but people like the 24-Hour War every bit as much and even a little bit more sometimes. So check that out. Anyone listening?
I will definitely check that out.
Got a question about your Jeep Patriot?
Yeah, you know, it's not as compelling as a sofa, but I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, it's hot sofa but, talk.
never mind. Anyhow, so I've got a 2012 Jeep Patriot that I bought. You know, I've had it since it's new, really. So I've had transmission issues forever in this thing. Are you familiar with the CVT?
I see is Jeep Patriots from behind on the freeway, and I go, what the fuck? Who builds that car? Why would you do that to a car?
You know what?
Who does those taillights? Is that the X taillights?
Actually, should be a Patriot. What the fuck is right?
I think that's the newer one. I don't think the 2012
has the handles. Who does door handles that way? What year is this? So, yes, that's what I think when I see. Those are the thoughts it brings out in me.
Yeah.
But yes. But now we know who would buy one. Rich from Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
there you go. Well, actually, they're pretty popular around here, but you know, it's got a, I don't know if you look at anything online, it's got pretty bad, it's a CVT, the constant variable transmission or something like that, I think is what it is.
Yeah, but isn't it trail rated?
It's not.
Oh, it's not trail rated. Well, that was your problem.
If you just buy the patch though and stick it on, is it then trail rated?
Oh, then it's trail rated. That's all they do with the factory. They just stick a badge on it, so go trail rate it. All right, sorry,
well,
Rich.
Much solves
sorry,
everything.
Right, we're done making fun of your ride.
Yeah. What's up with the CVT?
Oh, you know what? Well. That's pretty funny. Anyhow, the CVT is a really kind of a POS, but it's ever since I've had it, it really is sluggish. It chugs a lot, and I've taken it to the dealer four or five different times. In fact, I just came back from the dealer within an hour ago. And now the fact that it just ran out of warranty, now they're suddenly finding shit wrong with it. So they want to start throwing money into it. Right now, this guy wants to rip apart the clutch. So it's $1,000. Whereas before, the last five times I took it in, nothing. Oh, it's fine. And it's not. It is definitely sluggish.
Yep. How about you take that thing to an independent mechanic, you get it running, I mean, get it working, you sell it, and you step up to a Honda CR-V. Now, that's a lot of rig. If you're driving a Patriot, you step up to either RAV4 or front-wheel drive Honda CR-V, so you're not the fucking laughing stock of Beaver Falls.
But the best part is no one will really
making,
know.
You know, Damashek drives one of these, too, doesn't he?
he loves Pittsburgh. And listen, Permanente's, sorry, overrated, man. I've been hearing about Permanente.
Absolutely, dude.
They put the French fries on the sandwich. You're like, oh, big whoop. All right. Sorry, Rich. Get that thing running and get rid of it. I wouldn't want to drive around a Jeep Patriot, would you? And if it's coming undone, it's coming undone. It's
especially not when it's trail rated.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Daniel Boyer is here. He is the director of sales and marketing for Vanderhall Motor Works. Good to see you, Daniel.
Happy to be with you, gentlemen.
That is a nice ride you have out there, the Vanderhall. What are we calling? Is that one the Laguna?
This one's the Venice, so this is named after one of your places where you live, down there in Venice Beach.
So paint us a picture for those listening. What does this thing look like?
So Vanderhall kind of stole a bunch of cues from F1, you know, kind of the Morgan feel, the MG feel, just roadster, open-wheel roadster. We prototyped for about 6 years, and it wasn't until we took the body off of one of our prototypes that we finally kind of decided we found something that was timeless and, you know, kind of fit within the groove that we wanted to move forward with. And that's, you know, that's kind of what we've come up with, is something that's open-wheeled, wide open, no doors, just kind of jump in and go.
So it's three-wheeled. We got two wheels in the front.
Yeah, it's
one in the back.
It's got a 1.4.
Two-seater.
Is that a 1.4 am I looking at?
1.4 turbo from GM.
Oh. Yeah. How much horsepower would make it?
180 horses.
And it's only 1375 dry weight, so that's a good horsepower to weight ratio. So that thing's quick. The rules are you register it as a motorcycle, or what do you register it as?
Yeah, 34 states give us an auto cycle provision, which is basically means it's a motorcycle, but you don't need a helmet or a motorcycle endorsement. Here in California, law is a little bit gray on helmet, but it's pretty clear on motorcycle. You don't need a motorcycle endorsement. You know, for us, the ultimate goal when we were prototyping is finding something. Our owner, Steve Hall, grew up, put himself through college wide-bodying Porsches, and just loved them, absolutely loved them, didn't enjoy the like maintenance required with kind of a vintage vehicle.
What? But and the spark plugs are only $108 each, and you only need 12 of them. Yeah, so
why would you do that? Yeah, it's not a big deal. So that's kind of what he wanted. He wanted to create the vintage feel of a vintage vehicle, but without the headaches.
We're looking at the Laguna. It's got kind of an old Porsche color on there. That sort of
so you got
Robin's
three
egg
models.
Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One's electric. You have an electric option?
Yeah, the electric Edison 2 just was released. That'll be a series
that's
of different.
The Edison, yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a number of different electric versions. That one is currently on pre-order. It'll be released starting in Q3, Q2. But it's definitely fun. It's fast. I mean, we're not going after it from a green point of view necessarily. We're not going to save the world. I mean, it's got a 200-mile range on it. For us, it was a really nice power plant.
0-60 in 4 seconds. God, that was it was a 3 years ago. That was supercar.
Yeah,
it was almost hypercar speed. It's crazy.
Yeah, the 90s. Yeah.
Not the 90s. I mean, 4 seconds in the 2010 was considered
pretty good,
pretty supercar-y. There weren't a lot of Ferraris that did four in 2010, probably. So it's amazing how quick everything is getting. And you say 200 mile range?
200 mile range on the Edison. One of the things that we do in supercar fashion is our braking, and that's really kind of where our center of gravity is. It really gives us the ability to roll our center of gravity directly over the front axle when you slam on the brakes. And so in consequence, what little weight we do have is all leveraged to brake us. And we stop stock under 100 feet. If you've got the big brake package, it's under 85 feet, which is better than any vehicle in manufacture.
I guess so much. Yeah, I mean, obviously so much about braking is weight. You're down 2,000 pounds or more from what is a BMW M3,
right.
Then you're going to stop a little bit quicker and corner and accelerate. It's all weight.
So where do you guys make them?
So we build pretty much everything in Provo, Utah. We do use a lot of General Motors components, anything that needs to be reliable. As a small boutique manufacturer building less than 5,000 units a year, I mean, we'd be crazy to build our own engine. That'd just be like, just suicide. So we, use the GM engine, transmission, and steering column. And then for us, our intellectual property is really in the chassis. Mm-hmm. So we use an aluminum tab and slot process that enables us to really have a quick turnaround on new products. So we could bring new products to market pretty quickly. We started the Edison just a year ago, and we're already releasing it. And then we're also profitable pretty quickly on that model as well. So that's kind of our niche.
Is it a renaissance, like I'm picturing, back in the day when the guy was just going to make his Morgan or whatever hand-built something, fiberglass, whatever, car. It's like, it's just always had to get a VW bug, like for a chassis, and put some fiberglass over the top of it or something. You get the Coyote from Hardcastle McCormick or something. But with the technology, you're talking about the sort of like the turnaround and the aluminum and the CAD computers and everything. Like, one can make things now, right? Like, you don't – everything back in the day was like – every time you walked up to something where you didn't know what it was, it's like, well, it's a VW bug. You got to start with a VW bug. And then we get to whatever it was. So it just seemed like a kind of...
Right. You'd always think that there was some other vehicle underlying that thing.
Well, there was. And now you guys just, it's bespoke, but you can turn it around. Right.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's our chassis. It's our platform. And I mean, we get that question quite often. Oh, did you start with a slingshot? And we're like, please don't offend us. But it's completely us, and it's a passion that we enjoy creating, and we hope to dominate the segment over here in the next 5 to 7 years.
Who is? I know you guys were featured on Jay Leno's Garage. I'm guessing featured in the online Jay Leno's Garage,
yep.
Not the CNBC one. Who is your buyer? Who is your audience?
So our buyer, it's not generally the petrolheads. We do front-wheel drive, and we have an automatic transmission. We offer a sequential bump shifter, but our owner absolutely loves manual. And so for the first 5 years, we were mid-engined manual transmission. The dynamics of three-wheel vehicle suck in that layout. They just do. You have to put some of the weight back, and as soon as you put some of the weight back, now you're lifting tires in corners, and you can't corner. So in consequence, we slowly shifted to front-wheel drive, which mitigates weight transfer. And then the other factor that really became clear was boomers, which is really kind of who are buying these, they kind of want to have a little more comfort. And you know, unlike us, where we want the complete fill and complete control of a clutch and transmission, our market told us with sales, because we offered a manual for over a year, and it only represented 7% of total sales.
Seven. Well, it is
What's
crazy.
Wrong with people?
Well, you know, I don't know.
We'll bring
I
one
don't
back.
Know. Like all the guys who work here, they can't drive a stick. Yeah. And I'm not angry. I'm disgusted, but I'm not angry at them. Like I get them. I'm disgusted.
Every time I remember
I'm appalled,
that though.
But I'm not angry at them, you know.
Every time I remember, like, just a tear comes down, just one little tear.
Well, they've never lived in a world that has, you know, that has a manual shift. They never I guess. Are my kids ever going to touch a rotary telephone? And the answer is never.
A manual window, roll down window in a car.
Yeah.
Have they even seen one?
I'm trying to think of, like, well, I have vintage cars.
Yeah, but I don't know that they have.
I don't know they have either. I still like the idea that it's 2018. If we want someone to roll it down, we have to do the circular move at the stoplight.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the finger looks like you're asking for a blowjob. You're just sitting there at
you
the stop
roll
pointing
up, you start
at your
pointing.
Groin. Hey, man, come on. I got kids in the car, too. Well, come on. Let's go.
Whoa. Enough of that. Daddy, what's he pointing to? I don't know. Just keep going.
Yeah, I don't. I'm trying to think if they have. I'm trying to think what car you could get. Like, okay, so Lexus doesn't have. Lexus and Audi and Mercedes and BMW, they have nothing with a crank.
But can you get, like, a Chevy Spark? Or something, like something
Wrangler.
Very entry-level.
Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah.
I feel like, maybe the Patriot.
maybe a 2012 Patriot.
Although the cranks break off, but that still has a crank. It's just you got to use vice grips.
Well, movable windows is an option. Just movable in general.
I want to do a TV show called Who Would Buy That Car? And I just drive around, and because I stare at, like, I don't know what does Dylan drive over here? What's that thing? Is that a Spark or something? A Metro Spark or something?
He was driving a Chevy Trax for a while.
Chevy Trax. Like, I just look at him and I go, who would buy that? Why would you do that? Like almost everything Jeep makes, I just stare at it. The guy at the other shop used to have the Jeep Commander or whatever it was, Fire Chief or whatever it was. It was like powder blue with fake induction and four-door. And I would just stare at it like every day. Like, why would you do this? Who would do this?
Yeah, he was proud of that.
I didn't have the heart to tell him. It's like, why? I don't know. Is everyone like
every time we'd walk past that thing, you're like, this Jeep upsets me so much. Every time we walk by.
It was like $47,000. And I was like, why would you do this? And then I start getting mad at their dads. It's like, oh, my dad took me out to Irvine Jeep. And I'm like, why would your dad do that? I would never do that.
In a 2016, Car and Driver did a report about how many cars still have, like, crank windows. 5 or 6% have manual windows as of the end of 2016. 5% have rear drum brakes. 5% manual mirrors. 4% manual locks. 2% single flash turn signals.
Oh.
And then the 1% of the cars had no air conditioning. So I don't know which car that was.
Yeah, it's called the Corolla. My mom drives one. C-A-R.
Oh, on that list, did it say how many have manual transmissions?
They're down. They're down low, man.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I don't know. I guess you want me to learn how to make a tie. I don't know how to make a tie.
Well, we didn't say make a tie, but sure.
Kids
tie a tie.
Well, you make a bed. All right. I'd like to teach my kids to drive a stick. I drove them one time in a car with a stick and scared them. My son.
Oh, we must have had more than that. We've had a few cars here over the years that had manual.
I threw them both in this car and I headed off into the night and I chirped it in a second. And they yelled, "You're slow down. You're going to get arrested."
Did you explain what you were doing ahead of time, or were they like, "What are you doing with that stick?"
I explained that this is how it works. So what is their?
I'm going to teach Sonny how to
tie. I'm just going to scroll through, but these are all the cars that still have manual transmissions in 2018. BMW has a few. Cadillac has the ATS.
Yeah.
All Camaros have manual transmission.
As an option.
Yeah. As an option. Well, that's good. Corvette. Good.
Not dead yet.
Not dead yet. Good for us. Oh, yeah. And the Fiesta. Focus. And the Festiva. Wow. And the Fart. Everything's with an F over there. So, Daniel, what's the lead time?
So and the order process, are there dealers?
Yeah. So the Venice is in stock. We've got a dealer in Inglewood down there by Randy's Donuts. Here locally, and then we also have a dealer, Fred Cummings Motorsports, in Bakersfield, of all places. We'll have about three more dealers in California, Northern California, in about 3 months or so. And then most of our dealers are actually on the East Coast, funny enough. And
the
Northeast, where they have the short season.
Are people getting these vehicles as a second vehicle for like weekend kind of recreation? Are they doing it for commutes? Are they doing it for gas saving?
No. This is a third vehicle. This is like a motorcycle. They're buying it like a motorcycle, although 66% of our customers are not motorcycle people. These are just people that are having a late, resurgence of, I want to be young again type thing. And look at me. And this is their ticket.
Are they going out and carving up the canyon? Or are they showing up at Cars and Coffee to be sort of having a conversation piece? I mean, my feeling with like Cars and Coffee is, even something like, we talk about this all the time, like something like a Gullwing Mercedes is as cool a piece as a Gullwing Mercedes is, and $1.3 million.
Yeah.
Still a car that you see routinely, like every car show, or not talking about stuff in Detroit, but I just mean like car shows, Pebble Beach, every major auction has five of these things coming across. And so if you pull up to Cars and Coffee and your Gullwing Mercedes, it's nice,
yeah,
but it's not
cool.
It's not a conversation. Pulling up in the Vanderhall is a conversation because no one else is going to have one there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. If you don't like attention, I mean, this is not your vehicle. It's one of those things where you are spending an additional 20 minutes everywhere you go because you've got to explain it.
Right.
Do any of them have to be registered as a car? You said in certain states it's a motorcycle. So the difference is helmet versus non-helmet.
And endorsement versus non-endorsement.
Okay.
So as soon as we get some of the states to tip to where they don't require an endorsement, those particular states will blow up with sales because, again, it's like 66% of our customers don't have an endorsement.
An endorsement.
Motorcycle endorsement.
Right. I got arrested once for not having a motorcycle license. I didn't get arrested. The guy just said, get off the bike. And I was like, all right. And he's like, you have a motorcycle license? I'm like, no. And he's like, all right, park the bike. No, I'm going to tow the bike. You're going to walk home. And I said, how about I push the bike home and promise not to ride it? And he's like, no.
Nope.
And I said, how about I park it on that side street right there? I'll give you the keys and I'll walk home. He's like, no, I'm going to tow the bike. And then he said, I'll give you a ride home. And I was like, screw you. I'm not riding with you. Why would I take a ride with you? You're the guy who's towing my bike. I got dignity. So I just started hitchhiking.
Yeah.
And the guy who picked me up in a Pinto was the dude, I think he's Samoan, but he's supposed to be Mexican, in Stand and Deliver, the movie with Edward James Olmos, about Jaime Escovedo, the math teacher in the inner city, and had this ragtag group of inner city kids or whatever, and he was teaching them math, and the La Bamba guy was in it and stuff like that. This guy was in that movie. Now, that movie hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
It was going to come out. And I remember he just picked me up in his Pinto.
Nice.
He drove me back to my apartment. We're talking. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm an actor. Like, yeah. What did you do? I did a movie called Stand Delivered.
Yeah. How do you think I got this Pinto?
I have no idea what he did after that. He'd be the big husky guy from Stand and Deliver. And then I had to go to the DMV, get a temporary license. I couldn't do the motoring license because I didn't have a motorcycle. I couldn't ride through the pylons
because
my bike was in the impound lot. So they said, oh, we'll give you a temp license. And I'm like, so I go to the DMV, they give me a temp license, and then I have to go to the impound lot and get my motorcycle again. and then ride the motorcycle back to the DMV and do the cone thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, what is this temp license? Why is this safer than what it was 2 hours ago when I was riding it, just riding my motorcycle? Like, oh, now I have a piece of paper? Like, I didn't even do anything.
No.
Then I took the thing back to the DMV, rode around the cones.
The difference is you wouldn't have got your bike impounded.
Yeah, what's this dude's name?
Will Gote.
It is Will Gote. That's the dude, yeah. What's he doing?
I don't know. I'll track him down.
Still got that Pinto?
He doesn't have a Wikipedia, so I don't know if he did any more films after that, but I'll find it.
There's no IMDb on this guy?
Let me check.
All right. Look that up, I'm going to tell you about Geico.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You know, you're dropping off your dry cleaning, you're picking up some milk, and now you should save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance, or I assume motorcycle insurance.
Yeah.
That you probably need for your Vanderhall. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
All right. You go to Vanderhall, spelled just as it sounds, VanderhallUSA.com. Look at some of that really cool product over there. Also, if you want to see it in action, you can probably just go check out Jay Leno's garage, right?
And yeah.
See Jay walking around in his old denim outfit going, And do that. And Max Pata, anything with Will?
Yeah, it started to slow down around 93, but he was in an episode of Doogie Howser.
I knew it. I told you that kid had it. Doogie Howser.
I found a guy with the same name who says he's an actor and he's also a chef. So maybe this is the same guy, but there's no picture of him. So I gotta find out.
Yeah. Chef's a good thing to do.
Oh yeah.
When you're done acting, like you're like, I'm done acting, but I still want to get laid. What can I do?
Yeah.
Chef.
That's the way to go.
That is a good gig. All right. You want it looks like
him.
We're looking at him now, yeah. I wonder if he remembers picking me up, but because I wasn't me, so I don't know if he knows who.
Right.
If he's affiliating me with me.
I'll reach out.
He may have heard of me. I just don't know if he knew me was me back then. Yeah, I'd like to get his version of it. We may have smoked pot.
Well,
that's all I'll say. Yes.
Chris is going to find him because he's a chef now. We already know he's working at some restaurant.
Yeah.
Chris is going to show up there and
try to see if he's a good chef.
Yeah.
Try to get some food off him. All right. Oxnard Levity Live, March 15th. Madison, Wisconsin. That is Capitol Theater. It's April 6th. That's stand up. There's live shows everywhere. Just go to adamcarolla.com. We got the cruise. We've added rooms to the cruise. You can check that out as well. Want to support the show, go to carcastshow.com, Facebook, Twitter, and all that kind of stuff. Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, check out Shift and Steer on Podcast One at iTunes Podcast, and follow me at Moderator on all social media.
Love that about you. Daniel Boyer, thank you for coming in. VanderhallUSA.com is where you can go to check out all things Vanderhall. And until next time, this is Adam for Daniel and Matt saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.